This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
95% of Uber Eats orders are on time, which is great. Because when I want my spicy shrimp pad thai, I want it on time. Because, baby, there's no time like the present. Especially when it's pad thai related. But on the off chance your order is late, Uber Eats will give you 3 months, $0 delivery fee with a free Uber One membership. On time, pad thai, baby.
On time claim based on latest arrival time shown after order is placed. Offer ends 2/19/2023. Current Uber One members not eligible. Subscription will auto renew at $9.99 each month. Starting 3 months from initial enrollment. See uber.com/uber1 for terms. Benefits available only for eligible stores. Order minimums apply.
Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube
and your favorite podcasts.
Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City.
Tune in and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
Right, Chris.
All right, they're back. How the devil are we all? Welcome along. Well, it's nice that it's off-season, because we're just doing just as many shows as when it was the full season. Number five, we've finally reached the final part of the 21-22 season review. And if you are not, if you could please nip over to YouTube, watch us on YouTube, do what it says there, which is subscribe. Press the old likes button. That really does help the channel and the way YouTube sorts us out. And also press the notification, because, hold your cushions, ladies. You might just get a little bit turned on by this.
Coming soon to a YouTube channel near you.
I can't say for you, but it turns me on. We're 7 o'clock tomorrow. We have got a premiere of my interview with Mark Halsey, ex-Premier League referee. He, great guy. He doesn't hold back. Let me just say that. He doesn't hold back at all. But it's not on Facebook. It's not on Twitter. It is only on YouTube, 7 o'clock. So please subscribe and click that notification bell, and you won't watch it.
Like I say, if you're watching on YouTube, thank you so very much. And if you are listening to this on catch up on your favorite podcast platform, I thank you for that as well. And here's where you can find it.
Watch us on YouTube.
Listen on your favorite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow, and join in now.
And it cost us a fortune to get those models in. So, you know, you can't make any donation. They are gratefully received. And I know what you're saying. Crit, you've got Dan on. And you two, you don't need any models. But, you know, trying to be fine and fair and, you know, don't want to sort of hog the limelight too much. But good evening to talk. How the devil are you, sir? Thank you for popping in if you are still here. I always say it, the details are in the description below. Football versus cancer, that's Talk's channel. It is not just MU, Man United. It's all football-related content and a good cause, the football versus cancer. We are not going to let it win. Helen, good evening. How the devil are you? And I should say, sorry, do get over both on Twitter and on YouTube for football versus cancer and give him a follow. Helen, yes, welcome along. Rene, good evening. How are you? Helen and Rene are just having a little chat with each other. I have got here. Oh, it's jumped. It has jumped. Richard, good evening, sir. How are you? As always, I give you my sympathy because if I had to put up with Jake, I'd need it as well. So welcome along, Richard. The missus is in. The missus is in, Dan. Kate, good evening. How are you? Hope everything is all right at your end. I think I said up your end then. Hope everything is all right at your end. Anthony, good evening. Our latest addition to the... I'm sorry, Dan. I just nearly came out. But apparently that's what you say all the time to her. How are you? Welcome along, mate. The latest addition to the Leicester Till I Die team. Thank you very much. Terry, good evening. Hi, Chris. Just popped in to see what's going on. Oh, you wouldn't want to know. If I told you, you wouldn't believe me. And they're all then talking about transfers and saying hello. Oh, Helen, well, what can I say? Nice shirt there. Do you know what? I'm torn now, right? Give me your advice now. Give me your advice if you're in the chat. We'll do the get the serious stuff out of the way. Leicester have just released a new shirt. They're doing all the retro one. So it's not the new one yet. It's a new retro one, 40 quid. Or there is one that I really, really loved from years ago. It was the second shirt, yellow and blue. Loved it. It was the year we got relegated. But despite that, I absolutely loved it. And it's like, oh, and that's 30 quid. That's 30 quid on one of the sides. What do I get? What do I get? Or do I just hang on for the new one and get a new shirt, which we know is going to be blue in some form or another? Decisions, decisions, decisions. This isn't nice shirt, Chris. Looks like the Arsenal 04 season. I don't remember that season, mate. I honestly can't say that I know enough about Arsenal to say what they were wearing at that time. I wish my memory was that good. Apparently, though, they used to wear tutus, is that right? Because whenever they played Charleston Athletic, they used to wear them. Tutu Charleston. I've got to give myself one of these, haven't I? Yeah. Anyway, one decision that is very, very easy to make is my guest this evening. Dan, he's gone down. Nice one, Kate. He's gone down like a fart in a spacesuit. He's still with us, Dan. All right, mate. It's a pleasure to have you on. How are you?
It's good to be back. I'm looking forward to getting back into the swing of things. And I'm looking forward to trying to make myself sound like a neutral. But you know, since we've had an affiliation with each other, I've been keeping my eye on Leicester. So, what can I say?
Well, you know, I have a soft spot for Burnley as well. I'm a bit worried about how many of your squad are going to be left.
Looking at it, there's only going to be about 14, and three of them are out for a couple of months. So that's going to be interesting.
You couldn't even make it the five-a-side league, could you?
No.
I tell you what, I want. We're going to start with this because normally we do it at the end, and we are going to be having a look at our season, and we were going to end. But let's start with it, and that's transfers. because news is coming out, and you broke the news to me that Tarkowski might well be looking like he's going to Everton.
Yeah, strange one. Because for somebody who wants to progress in their career, I understand we've been relegated, but in terms of where our teams finished last season, it's a bit of a sideways step. Everton haven't really been ripping it up in the Premier League. They've struggled. They've thrown money at it. The derby of the Premier League, as I've been calling them for months. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they've, you know, I can understand if he was, I can understand if he'd gone to...
It's hard to keep a straight face isn't it?
I can understand if he'd have gone to somewhere like West Ham or yourselves, Leicester, or even Newcastle, because they're trying to build. And apparently the reason he's going there is for financial reasons. So a bit of a strange one when you look at the spending power that Newcastle have. And everything else, it's really opened my eyes to the fact that, does he really want to get back into the England squad? Because I'm not being funny. If you're doing shit in Everton colours next season, you're not going to be anywhere near it, at least if you're in a squad that is trying to fight for something.
I mean, you know,
it's his career, we all make mistakes.
I've made four because I've got four kids. I've not had three because two of them are twins. love your kids if you're watching. Love you. I mean, you know, I'm a big fan of Tarkowski. I would have loved him to come here. We've been sniffing after him for about five or six windows now, and it's always been too expensive. And now that it was on a free, I thought, well, you know, we should go for him. Good evening, Spencer. How are you? As you's there. Sorry, I'm just going to jump on this. I was looking at Helen and I thought, yeah, I know you're a Liverpool fan, Helen, but what are you smoking? And then I realised it's financial fair play is going to pot. I thought you were going to. Yeah, anyway, let's leave it there, maybe. as Spencer says, Tarkowski's 100,000 a week, apparently. Yes, he is, but we've got no... our top players are on that as well, anyway, but we've got no transfer fee to pay. So, you always get a little bit more. We'll see.
The thing is, Chris, it's a safe risk. It's a safe bet. Because if it doesn't work, you can always sell him on a make profit because he's cost you nothing anyway. So free transfers are always a safe bet. But yeah, I'm gutted that he's going to someone like Everton because. Yeah. We saw it with Michael Keane when Michael Keane left Burnley to join Everton. His career stagnated. He's not really gone on to make himself an England starting 11 player. In fact, he doesn't even get a call up himself now. So I don't know what Tarky's thought process is. As you said to me earlier, it's probably the fact that he gets to stay in the up north.
Yeah.
We'll just see what happens and take it from there. But I'd have preferred it if he'd have gone to someone, as I say, at Leicester, West Ham or Newcastle.
He's got to think of himself. He's got to think of his money. I do believe I read somewhere that being in the North was very, very important to him. But look, you know, so I read somewhere he's still on holiday, so he's not going to sign anything till he gets back. You know, he's had a medical... It's silly season. You know, like you say, if you believed every story you read... You know, we've been linked with Cornet as well, and everybody.
We've had B's and C teams with all the transfer rumours that we've had.
Exactly. But there we go. That's why we love football, isn't it? We're gonna have about 6 weeks of this. But
transfers anyway, to us football fans, they're like Kinder Eggs to kids.
Say that again. Sorry.
So football transfers to football fans are like Kinder Eggs to kids. You don't know what surprise is around the corner. You don't know what you're going to get.
This is true. But whatever it is, you usually have to lick it out. Right. I mean, you've come on as a neutral here, and thank you very much.
Yeah.
And you can't blame anybody other than yourself because it was your idea. You may be regretting that now. But... It's always interesting, and I am always interested on finding other people's opinion on our club. And I don't mean a sort of, you know, well, you shit and you desert or whatever. I mean a sensible opinion, which obviously you're able to do, you know, and look at what's involved. A lot of Leicester fans were moaning, and I started off right at the start of the season because we didn't have a good start, saying, God, we should be beating these teams. I sounded a little bit like an Arsenal fan, you know. We should be, because we're Leicester and because we've got 2 fifth-place finishes, we should be beating these teams. We had a great start with the Community Shield winners, stroke English Super Cup. We got into 8th position, which was one off Europe. We were European Conference League semi-finalists, losing by the one goal to the eventual winners. I was watching the show, and I can't remember, it might have been Doug's of the night, and they were saying that they were going through the teams and reviewing the season. And I think Leicester had a bad season, but we finished 8th. West Ham had a good season, but they finished 7th. You know, overall, you'd have been happy with that season, wouldn't you?
You look at it and you've got to think, has Brendan Rodgers made an overachievement feel like the norm at the King Power? So obviously when you do have this sort of down-to-earth normal season, you've got to sort of fight to avoid that comparative failure in a sense. You've got to sort of look at it, open the eyes a bit more. As I say, you've come to expect recent successes to start becoming more frequent. And you get that in certain fan bases. I'm not saying you in particular, but every fan base of every club has that set of fans that think, well, if it's been done once, we can do it again.
Mm.
You know, but we had it at Burnley with, we got to Europe with that squad. How have we got relegated? Why aren't we trying to fight for it again? But then we've seen with your squad, you've won the league, but why haven't you won the league again? You know, it's tit for tat. And obviously, it's just been a strange one, as I say. It started off really, really well. 1-0 win over Manchester City in the Community Shield. Looked like it was going to be...
Just talking about that, I mean, sometimes you look at things on paper, and football's easy on paper, isn't it? You know, we look at that, and A should beat B, C should beat F, and then we look at the big picture league and see sort of what little we do actually know. But... Yeah, obviously, I was there for that game, and it was a penalty in the 89th minute. And they had got, up until about the 70th minute, they had got most of their youngsters out and only brought the big guns on at the end, including Grealish for his first start. And you're thinking, well, hang on, if it was that such a good win, and a win is a win, don't get me wrong, the Manchester City we were playing were not the Manchester City that would go on to win the league.
No. No,
it's a good start, but I think we have to take it in perspective as to the teams, etc.
Yeah, I mean, it's great because obviously when you won that Community Shield, it was exactly 50 years since the day that you'd won it previous. So, you know, it's nice to have that 2-time Community Shield winners or English Super Cup.
Somebody's been doing their homework, haven't they?
I have indeed. But yeah, it's... You know, it's a great start because it builds momentum going into the season.
Yes.
Obviously, during the Community Shield, you know, there was a couple of knocks, shall we say, in pre-season friendlies to a big hitting centre-back, which was uncalled for. But I'm sure we'll get into the injuries at some point. But yeah, it started off well, and as we see, things can change in a season, and whether it's injuries or whether it's just bad patches of form. But I look at this and think, 8th position, 1 spot off Europe, the way you've gone, being semi-finalists of a European tournament as well, I'd say that's a relative success for a normal season, especially after the last couple of years of overachievement.
Oh, indeed. You know, people are saying like, oh, you bottled top four 2 seasons running. No, we didn't bottle top four. We overachieved to get 5th, when you think, because, you know, you look back at this season, that top 6 are the big, what they call the big 6. So to get into that, and it's very interesting because not this Friday, but next Friday on the debate show, the debate is the top 6, should that be expanded? And we now be thinking of a top 8, 9, 10 or whatever. But, you know, we need we need those sort of teams to drop out, if you like, to come back. And this year, Arsenal have turned it round. Spurs have turned it round. You know, Man United somehow managed to finish sixth. And I know Maisie, the Man United fan, is sort of saying, you know, she can't believe how they finished sixth with the season they had. But, you know, they did. As Andrew says here, you know, the Community Shield, it's a trophy when you win it, but it's the Mickey Mouse Cup when you don't. Exactly. I mean, it is the English Super Cup, but had we lost it, it would have been a meaningless pre-season friendly. But, you know, and I think when you look at the season we've had, and we were very rarely were we in the top half, and towards the end, we'd got knocked out of Europe, we weren't going down, and those sort of hints off Brendan that he might be going to play some of the kids. But he didn't. He went with strong teams. We had I'd like to say, it was the old Leicester back. You know, we beat Norwich by 4 goals, 5 past Watford, I think it was, drew with Chelsea. These were results that we weren't getting at the start of the season. And I think he looked at it, and I think he thought, I want to get as high as we can here. and you know, like you say, I would have grabbed your hands off for that at the start of the season.
Well, massively. As you say, you've had to juggle European competition with the domestic fixtures, you know, amongst an injury hit season. If anything, 8th position is an absolute, you know, it's an absolute dream, compared with everything that's gone on.
Well, you mentioned injuries, and I found myself hating myself. And I did say I was beginning to sound like an Arsenal fan before with the, well, we're Leicester, we should be fifth sort of attitude. But I didn't want to turn into like a Liverpool Man United fan saying, oh, we've lost one player, that's our season over, blah, 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 and blame it on the injuries. And in fairness to Brendan, he really didn't.
No.
You know, and Anthony says the Community Shield is not a cup. Well, it's a trophy. It is a trophy, Anthony. Now, I know an Arsenal fan, you particularly struggle to remember what one of those is. But, yeah, that does count. It is a trophy. But, yeah, no, you look at that, you know, I think it was actually ended up as over 30 players injured at some point this season. Nine of those defensive-minded players. I mean, with all that, and we bought Vestergaard in, and I was talking to a lady who plays for Leicester Women's B team, and she was saying, you know, is she the only one that thought sort of Vestergaard had had a bad press? And yeah, I said, you know, when he came in, he wasn't expected to play that many games.
No.
He was playing with a different partner virtually every other week. He was playing in a different formation because of the injuries every other week. And, you know, and he was therefore having to play out of position and not play to his normal, you know. And I know you can say, well, these are professional players, they should be able to play in any position. But you know, at your own jobs, you know, when you're at work, you know, if you just move desks for the day, you're confused because nothing's where it should be, you know. And I've got a feeling, you know, I just think if you had some of the big teams with those sort of injuries, you'd have heard a lot more about it.
Oh, massively. I mean, we've seen a lot this season from Klopp, you know, whinging that, oh, why is it that we're being penalised? We've got players out. These other teams like ourselves, Burnley and Leicester, etc., have had games called off. And it's like, hold on a minute, COVID's completely different to injuries, mate. Calm down. But you do get some whingy managers. Brendan has had to deal with, well, let's call it as it is, a pretty shit hand, to be fair. He's had to basically use constant rotation that's probably hampered, you know, the results this season because of that, because he's got to make sure that everybody keeps fit. And, you know, he had little choice to do it. He's got to react to that workload. I pulled some out earlier. Ryan Bertrand,
you went to the Fafana. Was that before Kate got home or
Sorry. Ryan Bertrand, Wesley Fafana, Ricardo Pereira, Johnny Evans, Jamie Vardy and Wilfred Ndidi, they all basically names that you'd have said would be part of Leicester's best 11. But just those six players were limited to 75 league starts between them, which you know, it says a lot. I mean, the Fofana injury, that was just uncalled for in a pre-season friendly.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, and he's such a big miss because he's a cracking little player, and so you've got that. It makes you beg the question. Obviously, you upgraded the training facilities. Not all that got a massive overhaul and a new look. And it's just, you know, what's going on there? What's happening for all these injuries to occur?
Helen's got to go. It's dinner time. What are you having, Helen? Why aren't you sending some to us? And to, of course, is Brendan's biggest fan, has said Brendan's squad management was about as useful as TV Wonder in an eye test. I mean, there's a lot of things. Like I say, when I was obviously this is the fifth one of these I've done about the season, and I've spoken to ex-players. Jerry Taggart, who we did the first one with, who was also commentates for radio for the club, and a lot of the time we spoke to a journalist, Rob Tanner from The Athletic. We had another fan on, Craig, and last time we had sort of the BBC Radio Leicester guy on, Owen. And it's funny, over all the things, the one thing that came out, which was two or three people said, and that's the ex-player, the journalist, and Owen, was that they have a red zone, apparently, players. And when you get to that red zone, apparently it's a case of you could get, you know, you carry almost carrying an injury, if you like. Mm. What you would normally do with the red zone is, once a player gets into that, you drop him, give him a chance to recover and bring another player in.
Yeah.
The problem is, we had players like Soyuncu that was into the red zone, but we couldn't afford to drop him because we had no other bugger to bring in to play. And, you know, a lot of the players were having to play with injuries that in a normal season, you'd say, now, you know, you're going to have a couple of weeks off and we're going to bring a Marty in, or we're going to whatever. But, you know, like you say, Fofana, Evans, Vestergaard was injured, Bertrand was injured, so many players injured. And, you know, it's amazing what you learn, really. And it's been a difficult season. And I just wonder, and I said before, I said, you know, how many other clubs would have managed to survive on that and not come out bleating to the press, oh, well, they've got all these injuries, etc.
None.
No. It's
none at all.
Yeah. And the thing as well is, some of our key players, Vardy, I mean, now we were just talking defensive, but, you know, Vardy, he's now in his mid-30s. So it's not that he's getting injured more often, but when he is getting injured, it's taking him longer to recover. You know, I mean, if I cut my finger now, it takes about 2 weeks for it to heal or whatever. But when I was sort of, you know, 19, it was done in a couple of days, you know. And the same with Johnny Evans as well, which is why I'm disappointed, you know, if Tarkowski doesn't come. But, yeah, I think, again, when you take all that into – I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, at the time you know, you don't appreciate it, but looking back, Andrew says here, the question is, how are so many players getting injured? Well, yeah, I mean, just I think I basically just said that, Andrew. A lot of them were on the cusp of being injured because it was a vicious circle, because you got your squad, then you got so many injuries, plus COVID, let's not forget. You got the
COVID. Yeah, of course.
COVID. So the players that you've got are asking, or you're asking them to play more games. And because you're asking them to play more games, they're getting sort of little knocks and little injuries. And like I say, they're getting into that red zone that would normally mean they were dropped. And of course, we couldn't drop it because we haven't got any more players to come back in. But time will tell. Hopefully, we won't be as bad this season. But I think on the next point, we're going to share a bit of pain here, I think, because neither of us had a particularly good FA Cup run.
We never did under Dash, never. Cups and Sean Dash were two things that never went hand in hand.
But again, we've won the damn thing last season, and I'm not bothered about the League Cup. Like, if we won it, I would be, obviously, but, you know, but the FA Cup, we'd won it last season. Let's go and give it a good, you know, good defence of it. we beat Watford 4-1. And as you can see there, there's a lot of sort of second string and youth players that ended up on the pitch at the end of the game. And we still beat a Premier League team 4-1. Got Forest in the next round. And it hurt because it was a local team, a local rivalry. And we've obviously got them twice next season. And we got knocked out. It hurts more when it's a local rival, doesn't it?
Yeah, always. I remember, I think it was early 2000s, maybe. I'd never seen Burnley Blackburn playing against each other, and then we drew them in the cup. It was televised by BBC One, on BBC One, I think, and I lived not far from the stadium. So the coach with the fans had passed my house, so I'd literally be up, you know, on the front street, giving it what I can as a kid. Having grown men firing shit at you, I learnt from a young age. But yeah, you know, it's things like those sort of things that should really psych you up for games. And you'd have thought for Leicester, as I say, you only have to look back at the squad that played in that 4-1 against Watford, that there's got to be some players in there that have got, you know, that are from Leicester, maybe. You know, you know, there's got to be some of that homegrown that, you know, you always like somebody who's homegrown in the squad, especially when it comes to these rivalries, because they understand it, they know the passion behind it. They sometimes it's them giving the team talk and not the manager. I mean, winning the FA Cup, Chris, you know, you, as I said to you earlier, you've become one of the best cup teams in the country in recent years. Yeah. 5 quarter-final exits, 2 semi-final exits and an FA Cup win in the last 5 seasons. So you've beaten everyone but Liverpool, City and Chelsea in that sense. So you've got to look, you know, I'm hoping that there's Leicester fans out there listening to this thinking that it's not that bad. It's not that bad. You know, it's a blip, but not a blip that we should be pissed off and sat there going, oh, like, is it going to get worse from here or what? I think people just need to, you know, wake up, smell the coffee and realise that, you know, 8th position was good. But yeah, you've done remarkable in cup competitions. Can't fault you.
I think it's almost like the glass half empty, glass half full syndrome, isn't it? Yeah. You know, and I kind of said sort of during the season as it went on that, well, yeah, this maybe isn't going to be our season, and maybe we have to sort of, maybe it's a reality check, you know. And someone up there saying like, hey, getting a big few boots, Leicester, just get back down a little bit, you know. I think we've got the 11th most expensive squads and we still finished 8th, so that's good. The thing that got me is you made a really good point there, Dan, about the youngsters and knowing what it would mean. Luke Thomas, Kieran Dewsbury-Hall, Vardy, they know what derbies are about. But you then got to think, well, hang on, some of the biggest derbies in the world are not English. You know, you got the Scottish one, you've got the Italian, Milan derby. I mean, there's some big derbies out there. So even these players that are coming over from another country should appreciate what, you know, and maybe that was a bit of a wake-up call, because I know Brendan wasn't happy afterwards. And, you know, maybe some players, a lot of players didn't turn up, but maybe some of them in their mind thought, yeah, we're playing Forest from the league below us.
It's tough, because I understand what you're saying with the, you know, the principle that, you know, you look at the Milan derby, it's, you know, there's flares, it's the stadium looks like it's bouncing. But we've got so many different versions of derbies now, you know, where we've got, it's just fan derbies. We've got the friendly derby between Liverpool and Everton. You've got, you know, the Milan derbies. It's mostly the fans that are going apeshit at each other.
Yeah.
You know, Celtic Rangers is due to religious views. It's for me, English football rivalries mean more because it's a passion of, this is a team that's literally, you know, the next town away from you, or not far, you know, not far from your neck of the woods. So it's almost like, right, that's our rival, we hate them. You know, every time I see a sign that says Ewood Park, whether I'm in the car, on foot, whatever, I flick V's, I'll give it a full fist wave. So yeah, it's. I just think the rivalries that game for me was an absolute shocker, and if anything, that should have been the wake up call that Leicester needed.
Yeah. I think we were probably just in one of those sort of, you know, we were in quicksand for the season. And I think we'd got that far that we were never going to get out. You know, I mean, had we beat Forest, we'd have probably lost in the next round, sort of anyway, the way the season was going. Nippon, good evening. How the devil are you? Every time I'm outside the Emirates, I rarely ever fail to give out some profanities. I get that, Nippon. I do get that, mate. Talking of the Emirates, Anthony says, "Chris, is the score for the season in the league versus Forest?" I'm not sure. Do you understand? I don't get that.
Yeah, he's basically saying is that Forest 4-1 the result that it'll be in the league this season.
Hey, if it is, then a certain person who I am backing at the moment may well change my mind about him. Anthony said here, Ant said here, and it's a very good point, 20 set-piece goals conceded, completely unaddressed. Now, you know, it and again, I've said that, you know, this is the fifth one I've done of these, and I've got different views on it. And I always go back, and funnily enough, I think it was Rob Tanner also picked up on it, where it was a game, and I can't remember who we were playing. I think it might have been the West Ham game, and we got a corner and they said, that's as good as a goal for the opposition against Leicester. And he hadn't finished saying that sentence and the ball was in the back of the net. And he's tried different things as Brendan this year. He started with zonal. That wasn't working. He then tried man-marking. He's tried a bit of mix of it both. The problem is, again, and I didn't really appreciate this at the time, but again, it's the players that he had to pick from.
Yeah, and yeah, you can't expect two centre backs to gel when there's constant rotation.
No,
you've got a mix of young and old, you know, and you're still trying to understand that person's game. Is he going to peel off? Is he going to peel off, or is he going to be one of them defenders that stays there, stays back, and will cover your arse if you go wandering? You know, but you've got to try and work that out. You've got to try and have that, you know, conversation with your fellow centre back. And I'm not just saying blaming the centre backs here. There's, you know, the right back, the left backs, everyone in that defensive unit is to blame. I mean, the set piece thing this season is absolutely shocking. Yeah. The conceding from corners, you may as well have just give him a penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that bad. It was that bad. You're usually, well, apart from last season and probably the season before, you were very, very good defensively from set pieces. You were, you know, knocking them out the park left, right and centre. You were clearing them. Nobody could get above, you know, the defence. And now, as you said, the constant chop and change is probably what cost it in the, is probably what cost the thing in the end. You know, I'm not just going to lay blame at the defence as well. I mean, Casper's probably been called in for a couple of questions as well.
It's funny you say that, because Andrew's just put up here, and it was something I was going to say. So great minds, Andrew. As he tried a goalkeeper who will leave his goal line. I suppose every goalkeeper has the way that he plays. And Casper isn't one that comes off his goal line. Now, you could, you know, say that it's maybe been highlighted more this season because of the defensive problems in front of him. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with Schmeichel. There's a lot of rumours going around about Schmeichel. We've got Ward. We've been linked with goalkeepers, and God knows why. We've got like a squad of them. we've got Iverson. And I think Djibokovic from Hull that we bought, that's played about one game in 10 seasons, is about, I think he's on his last... Well, he signed an extension, was it, last season? So I don't know if he's due to come out. But we've got Iverson, who's been out on loan again, great thing. So I love Schmeichel to bit, do not get me wrong. But if he is going to go, I wouldn't be sorry. I've got to be honest with you.
No, again, I know it's sort of bringing Burnley back into the fray, but we saw it when you said about goalkeepers that stand on the line. You know, when we had Nick Pope and Tom Eaton out injured, you know, we signed Joe Hart for $3.5 million, another keeper that did not come off his line. And it bit us in the arse, left, right and centre, because our defence didn't know what to do. If you've got a commanding goalkeeper who comes off his line, will shout keepers, lets you know where he's going to be,
yeah,
that's brilliant. Your defence feels much more relaxed because they feel like we've not got the job of saving your arse as well as saving our own arse as well. Mm-hmm. You know, Burnley, as soon as Heaton were back, we brought him in against West Ham, changed our season. We stayed up and we went on, won the game, we went on a run of results. So sometimes the blame can lie firmly at the goalkeeper.
But see, this is but, why, and you know...
I don't
you
know, it's enough. A tough one.
You know, but you know me well enough to my thoughts on goalkeepers as captains. Is, yeah. You know, he's a leader, Casper, do not get me wrong. And if he was an outfield player, I would want him as our captain 100%. But if he's having to worry about things further up the other end of the pitch, no, he should be concentrating on just, you know, as a goalkeeper, on just his, you know, area, if you like, you know, his penalty box. And I know a lot of people say, well, you know, there's been some good, you know, captains in the past, Dino's off to Italy, etc. And he has, but I just think a goalkeeper shouldn't have to worry about the rest of the pitch. He should just have to worry about his job and I say, yeah, that penalty box.
Yeah. Again, it's a strange one. We had Tom Eaton as a captain, but he were phenomenal. You know, he commanded the area. I think it depends on what you're working on. If he's sole focus is, you know, the manager says, right, let the attackers do what they need to do. I need you to be that commanding voice at the back so that when we do lose possession and it's coming back, you don't need to talk about the two tips up top. You need to talk about, you know, what's happening when, you know, when it's coming towards you. Yeah. As soon as that ball starts coming towards you, that's when you need to start talking. Command your defence. There's a player out there. He's not being marked. Do this, do that. It's a strange one. I mean, a captain should know what they're doing. They should have everything about them to, you know, see the job over the line and tell these players where they need to be. But then yet again, these players should know where they need to be because they are seasoned pros. They're professionals.
Yes.
I thought you would. I was waiting for it when he said about an abundance of keepers. I thought, oh, yeah, Schmeichel goes, Nick Pope comes in.
if Schmeichel goes and Ward isn't given that position, he'll be off. And I would give Ward the job. We had, and I've said this before this season, a few years ago, new youngsters won't remember this, but we had two goalkeepers, Gordon Banks, who was a World Cup winner, and Peter Shilton, who at that point was a youngster coming through. And Peter Shilton went to the ball and went, look, you know, I want to play. I want to play regularly. And I know my time behind Gordon is going to be limited. Obviously, he's a bloody World Cup winner, you know. can I go, please? And they actually made the decision to let Gordon Banks go. And we know, you know, Peter Shilton went on to be just as good. Apart from, because he didn't win a World Cup. Doug says, good evening, Doug. How the devil are you, sir? Cashman's making too many mistakes now. Well, sometimes it does get a bit stale. I'm playing out from the back. It's this style. And, you know, when one of your defenders, Soyuncu, is the guy that's got the highest pass completion of your whole team, as somebody said, he gets two because he kicks it out and receives it back. You know, but I don't like this playing out from the back.
No. I mean, it's I don't understand why people do it because, to be honest, cheers, Anthony. The only problem is you'd have me trying to touch your balls. That's the only problem.
whoa, hang on. This is taking a strange turn all of a sudden. I think on that note.
Yeah.
You know.
Ball
anyway,
boy.
We'll move on from ball boys, I think. We've got a few more things to look at. But, yeah, I think for the ladies, I think we should just hear it one more time, don't you?
Coming soon.
to a YouTube channel near you.
He is coming soon. Mark Halsey, ex-Premier League referee. And what a sexy voice that was, Dan.
I don't know where you found him.
Do you what? First, I heard that. I had to control
myself.
You've
got models in intros. You've got models. You've got this. You've basically got the millennial.
That's the sexiest voice on the planet, I think.
You got the millennial Barry White voice over there.
There's a thought. Yeah, 7 o'clock tomorrow, guys. The premiere on YouTube only, not on Facebook or Twitter. Get over there. The link's in the Facebook and Twitter groups. 7 o'clock, it's going to be premiered. My interview with Mark Halsey. The VAR bit got very interesting, I've got to be honest with you. I can't believe I actually suggested that he had a picture of Alex Ferguson in the photo frame on his bedside cabinet. he took it, thankfully, in good stead, because he's a big bloke. Europe, love to get your thoughts on this, Dan, because I'm not a lover of teams that fail in one competition and then get rewarded by dropping into the competition below. As in Man United, when they got failed at the Champions League and they nearly won the Europa League. Villarreal blast them, beat them. But we were in there, with not a lot we could do. Was this a failure because we dropped out of the Europa League, or was it a good run because we got first semi-final?
It's a tough one. It is a tough one. My stance is exactly the same as yours. I think if you qualify for a certain tournament, it should be that tournament only. If you don't qualify for the groups, that's it. It's over with. Deal with it. That way, when the other tournaments are there to be, you know, to qualify by other teams. Other teams get a little sniff at a European tournament. Although we're not going to see much of that anymore because apparently it's all going off history in tournaments. So too much dicking around with football at the moment, and it's annoying. But to be honest, as it's still here, you know, third in the group, it wasn't it wasn't bad. I wouldn't say you did bad in the Europa League, to be fair, but you went down to the Conference League, and I honestly thought you was going to go on and win it. When you came up against Roma, I thought, hey, if they can hold their own here, they've got a very good chance, and especially against a team like Rangers or whoever it would have been. You know, I thought Leicester will have the guile to go on and win it, and it could spur them on to pretty much where you finish now. But you still did do that, which is why I still personally think that even with that in the background, sort of, you know, derailing your thoughts on the domestic fixtures.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, I'll go back to what you said during the season. You know, you fight tooth and nail in them Conference League games, and then you're knackered for the Premier League game. So finishing eighth on the back of that, your hand off, your mate's hand off.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people poo-pooed the Conference League. You know, he had Arsenal fans. Sorry, Anthony, but he had Arsenal fans that we're Arsenal. We don't want the chance. Should have not be in Europe to be in the Conference League and all this sort of thing. And yet there were some big names in there. You know, if you look at the quarterfinals, and I wanted Roma over Blod-Glimt because, you know, Blod-Glimt. Yeah. Put six past Roma a couple of times at their ground because it's a plastic pitch. It's above the Arctic Circle. It's bloody freezing. I've been there. I don't know which balls you'd be playing with because they'd be dropping off all over the pitch. But when you get to those quarterfinals, there was, say, apart from Blod-Glimt and including ourselves, there were seven teams that within the last 10 seasons had been in the Champions League. And look at Mourinho crying after it, a manager of his stature, you know, taking it that seriously. I don't think it was the sort of clown league that everybody was making it out to be.
It's not. I mean, that's if that's the case, then that takes away, you know, the victories you had in Moscow, in Eindhoven. It sort of takes away the sentiment of, you know, as a fan, if you were there, it's like, oh, does that not mean anything? Because it's the Conference League. Yeah. But bollocks. No, it's there to be won. If you're in it, it's there to be won. You know, eventually, as we said, you lost to Roma. For me, the manner in which you lost to Roma was probably the icing on the cake for your season, pretty much. You know, conceding from a corner, only two shots on target in the second leg.
But if you look at Roma, the way that we went out to Roma was exactly the same way that they beat Feyenoord in the final.
Yeah.
And I think had we got into that final, then I think we would have won it, to be honest with you, because Feyenoord didn't look that, you know, that much to me, if I'm honest with you. Maybe I'm biased a little bit. And, you know, people were sort of saying, like, oh, you know, I mean, on that last day of the Europa League group, I think there was all three of us were top at one point, and we even nearly got out because in the other game somebody got a penalty, and had they scored that, we would have gone through. We'd have ended up playing Barcelona, and then everybody's saying like, "Well, hey, you just played Barcelona." Lazio played Barcelona and they got knocked out, so we managed to get through to a semi-final. I think, if you've given us that, it's a European competition. If you win it, it's a trophy. We came, you know, we were in the top four in that competition and we got knocked out by the eventual winners. And to be honest, Roma and Mourinho, it's not a bad team to go out to.
No, definitely not. Going out to the eventual winners is not no mean feat. And the fact that now to get into Europe, if you qualify, it goes down to positions on basis of history. You know, since you won the title, you've been in and around, you know, the Europa League, Champions League, now semi-finalists of a Conference League. It's,
yeah,
you know, you're starting to build a little bit of history in European tournaments. And I look at that last one there. Okay, there's no European football this season, but I don't think that saying that there's no European football this season is a negative way for me in looking at it, because you've achieved a top 10 finish throughout all the shit that you've been dealt with, the injuries, the drama, the semi-finals, the conceding from corners, constant changes. No European football, to me, this could be where, you know, Leicester start to rebuild and think, okay, there's no European football, players are going to want to leave. We get that. But this is that last season was a season of reflecting that, you know, we're not going to be punching above our weight season in, season out, whether that's in Europe or the league. So who knows what next season will bring?
Do you know I do impressions?
No, go
you
on.
Did you? No, I'm now going to do an impression of Arsenal fans. No European football. We can get Champions League next season. And I think you know which Arsenal fan I am referring to there. But at the end of the day, it's true, you know. I mean, Spurs had a good season. Yes, they got
his
a new
name
manager.
Is Lucas. He was a showgirl.
No, I was thinking of the other one. I was thinking of his
oh,
partner.
The other one.
Yeah,
the other one from out of Bill and
Cannon
Ben.
Cannon Ball. Yeah. I was thinking of the balls rather than the cannon.
So was Anthony.
But it's true, you know, that contributed 100% to us helping us win the league that time that we didn't have European football. Talking to teams that have got European football, Almighty Blues FC, great channel, go over there and give it
how
a
you
shout
doing, Ankit?
Out. Ankit there. Chelsea disappointingly third and you disappointingly second in the quiz league, Ankit, getting knocked off on the last day of the season. We feel your pain. And I should say as well, if you haven't already, Ant's Leicester fan channel. It's a great channel. We do a lot together. He's coming on to our show, I believe, on one sometime next week. Next week, I think it is. I can't keep up with all the shows. But if you haven't yet, get over there, give him a subscribe and a follow as well. we can end on this one, I think, and it's probably as well that it is an ending one. And I'm not going to burst into the Clash singing here, but should he stay or should he go now? I know if you get Anton, he would be a very much a, yeah, he should go sort of thing. But I think, like you say, I think with hindsight, when you look at, we've got to take off the blue tinted spectacles for me and say, you know, okay, we can't finish, you know, fifth every season. It's like saying Man United should be winning the league. They can't every season now. You know, they never, you know, there's always a blip year. And, we've talked about what's gone on and the fact that he's got us, as per the last slide, you know, the fact that he's got us this with, you know, it was European and everything. The fact that he got us all that with all the injuries he's had, is good. I think that's earned him another season. Now, don't get me wrong. If come the World Cup and after the World Cup, we find ourselves in the bottom three or something like that, questions will have to be asked and maybe consider his position. But I think that he's building something here. All this talk, I mean, this sums up the paper talk, you know, when he was sort of winning everything with us and he was fifth, then he was going to Spurs, he was going to Man United, Barcelona was after him. Now nobody wants him, you know, but he did such a good job last season, I think, with everything that was going on. He has earned that chance. And like I say, he's building something. And I think if you get rid of him now, then it will take another couple of years for the next manager to get us back to that stage. And I think every new manager takes a little bit off the last manager. You know, Claudio Ranieri won the league with Nigel Pearson's team, essentially, plus Kante.
I agree with that.
And then you've got, you could say, Rodgers is Puel had started to introduce the youngsters and, you know, he's riding on the back of that and we really didn't appreciate that at the time. But getting rid of a manager, like you say, it doesn't always work. And we're going to have lost a couple of good seasons where he's been starting to build things up. Looking from the outside, what are your thoughts on it?
As I said to you earlier, the two stats I looked at, and you know, that Leicester didn't win more than two league games in a row until mid-May. Mm. And that between October and March, they had a ridiculous run of 19 different league results from one game to the next.
Thanks,
but as I said, it's difficult. It's impossible to generate any momentum with all the circumstances that have come about this season.
Yeah.
Next season, or should I say, we're not far off now. You know, it's going to be a big summer for Leicester and for Rodgers, I think. As you said, if it gets to around January or, you know, something and it's not working out, then I understand giving the chop. For me, those stats may sound worse than what it is, but you've got to look at the bigger picture. You've got these fans out there that are stat mad, that literally they see a stat and they're like, right, sack him just based off that. But then you've got people who are sort of, I'm not going to say that a stat mad person isn't a realist, but somebody that sort of broadens the narrative and thinks that stat might be there, but stats are there to be broken. And on the back of that stat, have you seen the shit that's followed? Have you seen what's happened in the background? Mm. So, yeah, I think he deserves a chance without a shadow of a doubt. I think he deserves a chance to turn it around.
We all know with stats, you know, we've only got to look at, you know, every COVID stat that came out every week. You know, one professor can say this means that, and another professor can say, well, actually, no, it means the other. You can twist the stats to
Phil Goodson, now that you've mentioned that, Chris, I wish you'd have kept up the slides now, so I could have gone, next slide, please. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. He is called Chris Witter, and you are very witty, Christopher. So I'll give you that.
Well, you got the hair for him.
Oh, you bastard!
I wouldn't have said anything if you hadn't brought it up.
No, that's a fair point. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a bit of a rebuild. You know, It's likely that Tielemans is off. Schmeichel might need to be replaced. You know, people saying that. You said earlier about Vardy, Johnny Evans, although Johnny Evans has signed a new deal, hasn't he, I think?
Yeah.
So, you know, what's going to happen with new signings? You're still yet to see the best of Samari, Vestergaard, Daka. You know, you're still yet to see the best of these players. Okay, you saw a bit from Daka at the beginning. We saw a bit from Maxwell Cornet at the beginning, and then that dropped off. So, you know, who knows? It's all going to make for an interesting season. But for me, you look at that season as a whole, eighth position, semi-finalist of a European tournament with a massive injury hit list. That, to me, is just as good as a fifth-place finish.
Yeah. Mate, it's been amazing having you on. Thank you very much. It's going to be a funny season next year without you. It's like my son leaving to go to university.
Yeah. You know, he thinks I've got a brain, people.
Yeah, I never said which university. And of course, we do wish Burnley all the best in coming back up to the Premier League. We're doing a Norwich. Let's see if you can do a Norwich. But your details are in the description below. But just remind people if they want to laugh, because I mean, you do some great shows out there, not just on Burnley, just on general football. And guys, really, you need to get over and subscribe to his to Dan's channel, if for no other reason than to have a look at his hot chip challenge. If you don't,
I won't be doing that again.
Video, that's the one you want to look at.
Won't be doing that again. To be fair, Chris, thank you for having me. You know, I'll be like a woodlass. I'll be around. I'll be pottering around. But yeah, thanks for having me.
Where can people find you? Just give it a shout out.
Yeah, so you can find me on here most time, contractually obliged. I'll get that one in before the season starts. But yeah, at Turf Moor House, not just Burnley stuff, but doing obviously Championship stuff. I will be doing some Premier League stuff as well, some Premier League watch-alongs, if not with Chris. Obviously, I'll be doing stuff on my channel as well. So yeah, please do show us your support, and we're on all socials, so check us out on there. Turf Moor House, the place to be.
It is. Kate, we're gonna leave with this quote, because I know you were asking, you know, you did the hot chip challenge, and I think you're very brave to do that, and it's still the funniest thing I've ever seen.
The good job I did a video afterwards, Chris, because it was the hot shit challenge.
I bet you were singing that song, weren't you? Ring of Fire.
Oh, honestly.
But you did that when you got to 300 subs. I don't know what you're going to do when you get to 500, because you're not far from it, but let's get in there, folks. And maybe this is a bit of an idea, a hot chick challenge. I pressed on the wrong one. She said something else. I thought you said hot chick challenge for a second. Now that's an idea.
Oh, well, I'll have to find one first.
just go on to Instagram, because I'm getting followed by a load of women who have got no followers whatsoever. But for some reason, they're just bots, of course, as they are otherwise known. But
I only jest, Kate. You're the only hot chick that I need. Put it that way.
What can I say?
It's a trip to Nando's, then that's different.
Well, both of them are a bit spicy, really, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Nando's probably more.
On that note, thanks very much, mate. He loves you, Kate. He loves you, really. She says, enjoy finding your hot chick.
I'll be upstairs in 5.
Hey, you'll be down in 6. Come on. Sorry, mate. All right, mate, take care. Thank you so much.
Cheers, man. First. Thanks, everyone.
You got in there first. Sloppy seconds coming up at 9 o'clock. Cheers, buddy. All the best. Take care.
Take it easy. Thanks again. Cheers.
Make sure you get over there and give him some support. Turf Moor House. It's on Instagram, it's on Twitter, it's on Spotify, it's on everything. I think he's on Just Fans as well. He's kept saying about that. I think he's... Check him out. Turf Morehouse on Just Fans. Yes. I'm saying nothing. Come back at 9 o'clock. We have got... Well, there was a report that was written by a university student at De Montfort University in Leicester. Seven ways to improve the atmosphere at the KP. And what we've got on, hopefully, is going to get three Leicester fans, season ticket holders, that actually go there week in, week out, and get their thoughts on what he said. That is coming up in 24 minutes. So I know OnlyFans, Chris, OnlyFans, says Kate. I need to go and drop the kids off at the pool before we get there. I will see you back here at 9 o'clock. Take care. Thanks for watching again. Big thank you for Dan. His links are in the channel, in the chat below on YouTube. Make sure you follow him. And remember what I always say, don't do anything I wouldn't enjoy. See you later.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.